Good afternoon, everyone. This is Christian Teig reporting from Koblenz on CGM's first quarter 2017 quarterly presentation. I hope everyone who intends to and is interested to participate in this conference call is able to get in and have received the right dial-ins, participant codes, and login credentials, as our beloved service provider decided to change all of this after almost 10 years of no change last night. The format, other than that, will be very similar to our normal quarterly presentations. We will step through a presentation that you can either download or watch from our website, or you follow the live webcast, which you can access through the link in the invitation. I will try to call out the slide numbers as we step through it so that everyone can track it. Presentation, I would expect to take 10 to 15 minutes, and then we will step into the normal Q&A session. This brings us to the slide numbered 2, where we see the key figures for the first quarter this year. Revenue is where it should be. We do have some higher costs than normal due to the ramp-up for the telematics infrastructure rollout. For this and probably the next quarter, that may not have the same relevance as it usually has, as we are spending what it takes to get ready for this opportunity. If we go below the EBITDA line, technically it's another quarter where we have positive currency effects on financial result, so that on net income and EPS we are actually above last year. I would propose to largely ignore that and focus on revenue and EBITDA as we normally do. We'll step through the normal housekeeping slides, even if I know that for this quarter there is a lot of interest about what's going on in Germany and how the coming periods will look. Still, on slide number 3, we see a few years backdrop quarter by quarter on revenue and profitability. And as most of you know, and as is clear, we will have to wait a quarter or two before margins again start to pick up, as we are in this, say, six-month ramp-up preparation phase for something which is large, even on group level for CGM. Slide number 4, our costs of goods and corresponding gross margin. Absolutely no surprise. We are really more or less pinned at the 82-83%. And again, it just shows that we are consistent with our business model and that we are growing based on the same revenue mix and, say, third-party inclusions as normal. Brings us to slide number 5, the personnel expenses, almost identical to the fourth quarter last year. No surprise, the ramp-up that we see also on the HR side is related to bringing people on board to prepare for more aggressive growth beginning in the middle of this year, related again to the German situation. Slide number 6, other expenses. This is at its current point, if you look into the last four quarters, pretty much exactly at 35% of personnel expenses. Basically, everything we spend outside personnel is more or less directly related to the people we employ. Long term, our goal is to bring this to somewhere around 30% when all internal systems and all internal structures are fully streamlined. Right now, with everything going on, around 35% is normal and what everyone should expect. Slide number 7, operating cash flow. There is still some influence from migration of internal systems, and we still haven't been paid in the Gematik project. Having said that, we're certainly better than last year in Q1 this year. Solid positive cash flow. Some of that is related to just better underlying, say, working capital management and overall profitability. And we also paid a lot less taxes in Q1 this year compared to last year. Slide number 8, CapEx. How did we allocate resources in terms of investments during Q1? Nothing very special here. We bought and paid for one fairly large additional dealer in Germany. That's what's in company acquisitions. We bought out all remaining minorities related to our subsidiary that produces the connector in Germany. That's the 1.1. And the 2.9 under other property and equipment is basically tons of hardware that goes into our VPN access service, which will serve our customers and users in the telematic infrastructure in Germany. So we think those are good, solid investments for the future. Brings us to slide number 9, our balance sheet. This development from the end of last year to the beginning of this year is 100% normal. Pre-invoicing of software maintenance, good solid cash flow, which basically brings debt somewhat down, and obviously blows up the balance sheet a little bit as we balance the prepayments as deferred revenue under other liabilities. But if you look back, I would bet the last 10 years, the dynamics between, say, Q4, Q1, is exactly how it looks on this slide. So again, a very normal development. Those were the more technical financial parts of Q1. Now we go more into the operating review of our different segments. We always start with the largest and most relevant one. There's a placeholder that we already stepped through on the webcast. Brings us to the slide numbered 11. Our doctor software development, AIS more technically described, 5% organic growth, that is good. If you compare Europe to the United States, sometimes we do that, developments in Europe were even stronger, US continues to be flat, and on top of that, we also had lower revenue and in the Gematik project, as this is now coming to an end, lower than 1 million in this quarter. That's about 1 million lower than last year. So all in all, the core European AIS business delivered strongly, in our opinion, for Q1. Brings us to slide number 12. And probably here's where I will slow down a little bit. Try to cover the main points as we see them, and then I'm sure that there will be a lot of color added in the Q&A session on this, as I think there's a natural focus of attention right now on this very special situation in Germany. So perhaps there's a little bit of a backdrop to those that may not know all the details that well. There are two things to think about that are relatively separate. One is the pilot project, the so-called ORS1 project. This has been going on since the beginning of 2014. This is a very special trial of all the related technology for this network called telematics infrastructure. It's being done in three states in Germany in the northwest. It really had the progression of 2 years of R&D, came together towards the end of last year. We started with a pre-pilot in November and then went into the full-scale pilot in December. So This year has been about rolling this out completely to the roughly 500 provider organizations that are part of the pilot. That has all gone really well. And right now, everyone has been connected. Everyone is running the solution and checking the insurance data in real time for patient visits, and if needed, updating also the master data for the patients in real time directly into their files in the insurance companies. So far, we have done more than 500,000 card checks, and almost 25% of the cards need an update in terms of its information, which is actually much more than what we expected, but that's interesting in itself. It just shows the value of this infrastructure. It was stated as a project goal to do 500,000 card checks. So we've basically reached this target 2 months before the end of the trial period. And again, these installations are really running without any material problems. And as far as we can see, we will have sufficient test results. You could even argue that those exist today to move from this project into the other, say, main topic, which will now quickly become the topic. That means how to roll all of this out to all participants in healthcare in Germany. So this may be one of the last conference calls where you hear about the pilot project. We will probably mention when it's all been closed and the money has flown in. But it's coming to an end. We can already declare it as a success. And now we quickly move into the next phase, where, if we move to slide number 13, there are some prerequisites. And you could maybe ask the question, what's the big deal? You've proven this in the pilot. You've done more than 500. You've done more than 500,000 card checks. They all run in, something like a second. Doctors are happy. They give interviews to the press. Everything runs much better than what everyone expected. Let's just move on and roll it out. It isn't quite that easy. Every single component used in the pilot, from the connector to card readers to the VPN access service to the central components that create the logic that interfaces with insurance systems, all of that has a certification for piloting and now has to be recertified for live operation. In my opinion, that is a lot of formality. There isn't a big gap between the specifications and requirements for the pilot operations and the live operations. One notable exception, as some of you might know, are the card readers, where they in the pilot were given an exemption due to fairly substantial new security threats in terms of data security and commensurate new requirements, which means that a full redesign would have had or has been done in the meantime. Those components are now entering into both a certification, which is done by the Federal Office of Information Security, and in parallel, an accreditation, which is done by the Gematik. So the certification is done to international standards, the so-called Common Criteria Standards. You can read about that in very elaborate ways on the net. That's a very transparent system and a very transparent process. The accreditation by Gematik is something that they, in a sense, both decide the rules for and the procedures and the end result themselves. Still needs to be done. And obviously, something up until yesterday at around 2 p.m., which was high on the watch list, was the financing agreement. as again, most of you know, it's stated in the e-health law that those who ultimately will pay for this infrastructure are the statutory insurance companies, but those who will get the components are doctors, dentists, and other provider groups. So there needs to be a mechanism for the insurance companies to finance the providers. For all practical purposes, this will be covered on the next slide, this has reached, in our opinion, a very good and sensible conclusion, and provides a solid basis for the targets, both in terms of timing and quantity of this rollout to happen. Probably what then remains on everyone's watch list and really will be worked on day and night, not just by us, but by all parties and participants in this huge effort, are to just get the components and services certified and approved so that we can really start at the beginning of July. And the last bullet, everyone should know that the time pressure here is intense. I think we've mentioned this in every quarter. From the timeline, which was more or less reset in September last year, we have not changed anyone, CGM and all other industrial partners, but there are really no buffers, and time pressure is intense. But again, this is not the time to lose sight of this very important deadline, and everyone is really doing everything to start beginning of July. Then let's see whether it's the beginning of July or middle of July or exactly when it will be, but it really now starts in the middle of 2017. Now it's up to the industry, CGM and our peers to make it happen. Brings us to slide 14, the financing agreements. The first one that was published, and it was published in its full length, it is about a 15-page document. It is in German. It's published on the webpage of the main Association of Dental Practitioners. This agreement was published in March. It's more or less a framework agreement where prices are not explicitly set. There were some placeholders put in. But it basically says that, okay, all dentists will be reimbursed in a way so that it fully covers the cheapest package available in the market. Technically, it's elaborately described. It's more or less a blueprint which has already been established in terms of medication reimbursement, the so-called Festbetrag system, where they basically have a principle that everyone gets reimbursed, whether it's for drugs or here for components for the telematic infrastructure. If there are more than three offers in the market, you get replaced, say, for the lowest third in your calculation, which basically means you always get reimbursed at least for the cheapest product in the market. And as you know, there will be very few products available in this market. So we already thought that agreement was okay and more or less as good as it gets and would basically be an okay basis for us to proceed with an unchanged, say, pricing policy and offering to the market compared to what we announced almost 2 years ago, or actually more than 2 years ago. It was up until yesterday, say, afternoon, also clear that the same level of agreement had not been reached with the main association of doctors, so not dentists, but doctors. But around 2 p.m. they announced a press release. So in this case, we don't have the full text as we have with the dentists. I would say a third of the text in the dental agreement is a lot of, say, the technicalities on how exactly the dentists will invoice, get reimbursed, and that the clearing of the funds will happen through the normal invoicing system, which in my opinion is highly intelligent. It is identical to how doctors, for example, in Norway get reimbursed for the same thing. It is another service that you charge over the normal, say, claims and invoicing channel that you always use. We expect nothing different for the doctors, but again, they have said that it will be about 2 weeks before they will publish the full text of the agreement. But probably what is written into the dental agreement shouldn't be that different to what we expect for the doctor's side. The difference there is, of course, that the amounts for the main components are much more explicitly stated, and there is also a financial incentive mechanism built in to drive early adoption and to give a stimulus to connect already in the third quarter this year. So if you take one of the components which have been explicitly stated in the press release, and I want to highlight and remind everyone that all of these prices include VAT. So if you, say, would compare this back-to-back to what we would charge in equivalent amounts to the doctors, as obviously no VAT is relevant for our published financials, you would have to subtract the 19%. So when they say that doctors would be reimbursed 2,620 euros for a connector, this corresponds then for the doctors to buy this for 2,200 plus VAT. So hopefully that's clear. And then they say, okay, that's what you get in Q3. In Q4, you got to take off 10%. Q1 next year, you got to take off 10%. And Q2 next year, another 10%. So it kind of goes 2,200, 2,000, 1,800, 1,600. And then the rollout shall be finished. So this obviously would hopefully, and since doctors get reimbursed the full amount, assuming that we would charge the same amount into the market, there would be no particular reason to wait. The press release does not include any details as to how timing is measured. Is it placement of order? Is it taking delivery? Is it going online? Is it when you do the first VSDM online update of the check of a card? We don't know, but I think the whole agreement in the principles that are included in the press release are just oozing of common sense. So we are convinced that there would be just a common sense, practical definition of this, so that the doctors, whoever want to go, will have the opportunity to go in the third quarter and get the full reimbursement. Other components which are listed in the press release, card readers, both stationary and mobile, and also, say, the one-off start fee, which is to cover installation and training, whatever there is needed. 900 euros, including VAT, that's 720 without, will be reimbursed. There may be other components needed, and again, we haven't seen the full agreement, but at least those were the main highlights that were announced in the press release, which is basically a one-pager. So this is what we know so far. Our opinion is that this is a good basis to reach the goals within the e-health law, including the dated milestones. It shows that the parties, the Association of Insurers and the Doctors Association, have oriented themselves in the market, made a pragmatic solution. It's not fantastic. It's not in the other direction. I think this is what we hoped for and what we expected. And again, it enables us to proceed in how we approach the market, unchanged to how this has been planned for more than 2 years. So all in all, it has to be labeled as good news. Those were the highlights that we present here, and more details I'm sure we will touch upon in the Q&A session. Let us quickly step through the other operating segments. Our second largest important customer group, pharmacies, we move to the slide numbered 16, also a good start to the year, 4% organic growth, is where it should be, maybe even on the strong side. And we did buy some material dealers in the Italian market end of last year, which gives another 9% growth contribution, and will do so also in the next two quarters. Next segment, hospitals, that's slide numbered 18. Not a fantastic start. This is a bit of a different animal in terms of quarterly fluctuation. I guess all in all, we haven't guided any growth for this segment this year. So I guess whether it's zero or minus one or plus one doesn't matter so much. I think it's fair to say that we could have wished for a slightly stronger start. But all in all, I guess it's okay. There is also an effect that we have pulled out of Turkey and Middle East. It never was a lot of revenue on an annual basis, something like 1.5 million, but it always ran at a loss, and now we're out, which is a good thing. HCS, again, these are businesses that run with a very low proportion of recurring revenue, so it does just inherently have more quarterly fluctuation. Especially the communication and data business, slide number 19. Yeah. Completely normal Q1, normal development, and consistent with what we have guided. Workflow decision support, not a fantastic start. Having said that, it was a lot up Q1 last year, and for the full year, it doesn't change the outlook, and the business is basically performing as expected and normal. So bringing this all together, slide 21, we stick to our guidance. That's normal. I think if anything, we are strengthened in our conviction that this is where we will end up. And the important assumption that we included already from the start, that rollout of the TE infrastructure in Germany will begin in the middle of 2017, has gained support over the last period. This is reaffirmed, and the closer we get to the middle of the year, I guess the less uncertainty remains. I would be very surprised. People have asked, okay, given all the push and say all the good news, could you even exceed? I think this is not even close to the time to discuss that. And I think not even the next quarter will be the time to discuss that. That's really when we come towards the end of the year, because obviously we need to ramp this up and get to a high run rate, and that will only come through towards the end of the year. So everyone will have to be a little bit patient and just expect us to stick to this, which in essence is a good, solid outlook for this year. Slide 22, as I said, the next checkpoint, ignoring for the time being the AGM, which is next week. Q2 is in the beginning of August. I'm sure that there will be news flow before that, but certainly that will be an official, solid interim report, where again there will be a lot of attention to what's going on in Germany. And hopefully, and as it seems and as we plan, we would then be underway in the rollout. This brings us then to the end of the prepared presentation. As the keen participant have observed, we have stuck to our service provider for this conference call system, which means that you still press star 1 to queue up for questions. We have made some procedural changes that hopefully now work. So please start to queue up, and we will take you in sequence. Please, first caller.
Hello, I guess it's my turn. Hello, Christian. It's Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research.
Hi, Andreas.
I actually have a couple of questions. So if I may, I will ask most of them because I guess many will have similar questions. So the first one is regarding the number of installations per day that you can still carry out. I know you provided this figure, but maybe you could provide us with an update. And would you be willing then to use own personnel to seize the opportunities that you have of you? And then I remember that in one of the previous calls, you mentioned that you need to pre-order, or you can pre-order up to 3,000 connectors per batch. And you have roughly three batches as capacity, and you have to pre-order 3 months in advance, meaning that given the incentives for early adoptions, you will have to pre-order very soon. So I guess you can't have pre-ordered anything yet, as there is no certification there. But when could this start, and are the assumptions that I just mentioned still valid? And then one question regarding pricing of the connectors. Have you been asked by the arbitration body what you will ask for your connector? And given the incentives for early adoption and the decline afterwards, it means that the legislator would accept a mismatch between the price of a connector and the reimbursement. So maybe you could comment on this one, as I assume that you will not follow the reimbursement one by one or exactly as it's given. And then last question, what the specifications that will be obviously changed following the pilot help any of your competitors to improve their product? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So when I answer these questions, I will in some ways take a leadership role in this and assume that all my colleagues are able to, who deal with all the challenges on a daily basis, are just able to fix them regardless of how mountainous these challenges might be. But I think that is more or less the spirit that we are in. You know, this is a bit of a man on the moon project, and in that respect, there are no boundaries and no limits. And if we start with your first question, you know, number of installations per day. I think where we are now, we will just do what it takes. You know, if we are going to capture this opportunity, where at least from the start, we would most likely be alone in the market, that doesn't last forever. You know, we have the strongest of all incentives, also linked to the financing, to get as much done as quickly as possible. You know, we have our service network in the pharmacy software side across Germany. Oh, if I decide everything, I say drop everything and just go and do installations. You know, we'll put bookkeepers to do installations. Maybe not quite, but really the spirit is we'll do whatever it takes. How much could we then realistically make happen with internal resources, our sales and service partners? I think we can do a lot, and we have to do a lot, because something like 200,000 sites needs to be up and running. You know, does that mean that we potentially, theoretically, could do everything ourselves over a 12-month period? I mean, in the spirit of my introduction to this answer, I would say yes. But maybe there comes, you know, gravity that just makes it not possible. But certainly, I mean, I know before we said, yeah, we were thinking of a run rate of 3,000, and theoretically we could do 6,000. This was always kind of the sober, say, orderly type of rollout, where we would do our own customers and someone else would do the rest. That's changed a bit. I think we need to do more. The question is, how fast can we do more, and how much more is more? I don't know. But certainly, I think mentally we need to think of ways where we could do anything up to 100,000 installations before the mid-year next year, which obviously would mean we would need to turn every stone and also see how we could increase capacity both in-house and out-of-house. As we have seen in the pilot, it is a very doable effort to get an installation up and running, which is very comparable to set up an internal network with a, say, a router and the configuration. So we don't see it as impossible to increase capacity if, in terms of installation and training, if indeed this is the bottleneck. And the same thing goes for your second question, in terms of connector manufacturing. The 3,000 per batch is actually something that can relatively easily be increased, and we have obviously worked with our supply chain to make sure that connector production in terms of the physical hardware is not a bottleneck. And it's actually literally only some weeks to set up a so-called second Fertigungsstraße, so a completion production line. And that's probably all in all less of a bottleneck and constraint relative to the installation and manpower needed to do the on-site work.
So what's still the order to delivery time for you? Still 3 months?
Yeah. So in this business, money solves a lot. And we're not talking about anything that influences business models, but I mean, a lot can be done, say, in a 4 to 5 week time period.
Okay.
You know, it's the hardware itself is very much off the shelf. You need then, you know, a certified pairing of say the identity of the connector, which is the SIM card. But other than that, the motherboard is, you know, volume produced with an AMD processor, where you can also do multiple sources. So it's just this pairing line. And again, we don't see this as the most critical bottleneck. And actually, maybe this is the time to highlight this. We are fairly confident on the connector, both in terms of, you know, getting it recertified and approved before the 1st of July, and also in terms of producing the necessary numbers. Probably on top of the critical path list are the card readers, because they haven't, you know, they got an exemption in the pilot, and it's really tight. And, you know, those three that are now in the front runners will have to really, really pair their legs correctly to get that done before the 1st of July. But, you know, we're talking really professional, high-quality suppliers. So obviously that's doable, but challenging. The third question you had, were we asked by the arbitrators? I don't think that's so important. Certainly, if you look at the prices which were announced yesterday in the press release, they are very much in line with what we have presented and discussed officially for more than 2 years. And you don't have to ask us. You can just look into presentations and material that we have published before. This thing about whether they would accept a mismatch, in our opinion, yes, because that's the whole nature of the financial incentive, that there will be, if not a penalty, but a financial disincentive of not moving early. Obviously, there should be a fair chance for everyone who wants to get the full reimbursement. I think that would be more or less a legal necessity, and that's why we believe that there would be some common sense mechanism to say to get the print so that you have formally done it in the third quarter 2017. In terms of have the specification changed, helped, say, new entrants? No. The specifications for a lay person like myself are unchanged. There are many details, but more or less, it's, if not identical, it's very, very, very close to the specification which was used for the pilot.
Great, thank you.
Hello, Christian. That's Knut from Baader Helvea. I'm also with a couple of questions, not surprisingly, focusing on the health card opportunity. Just to double check, Christian, the 2,620, that's the connector only, if I assume, is that correct? And do services and also then the software to make everything running and connected to the infrastructure come on top? Secondly, briefly on the add-on costs that you accounted for in Q1, is it fair to assume that this was basically the delta between consensus and the numbers you reported, so round about a touch more than 2 million, and should we expect also round about this ballpark for Q2? And then Gematik has issued a press release that TIS systems, that the tests in the region south have been pulled. So, I mean, the reading for that, and probably you also hinted towards this when you said in regarding Andrea's question that you will be the only ones in the market, at least in the beginning, that TIS systems is unlikely to be around with a solution at the beginning of July. So if the rollout should start, is there for you a chance here to capture market share? And making a game of what could happen if TIS systems would continue to have problems to deliver. And the timeline, as you said, in the law is pretty intense or tight. Would there also be then the option, because you probably cannot do the 200,000 alone, that TIS systems finally would have to go for an OEM agreement with your solution that has been tested, successfully tested? Is that something like a possibility? And that would be it from my side. Thank you.
Okay, so first question, is the 2620 including VAT for a connector only? Yes. I think you cannot read the press release any other way. It really is 100% linked to the connector. There are two other components which are mentioned in the with amounts in the press release. One, actually it's four, so it's stationary card terminal, 435, and mobile card terminals, 350. And then there's the so-called Startpauschale, which is intended for installation and training, which is 900 euros. That's what's stated in the press release. There are other components that will be needed. One component is, for example, the so-called SMCB cards, the ones that you stick into the components to make them ultimately work. That will also need to be, say, procured and purchased. We obviously are putting now together our final offer into the market, which will be launched in a very transparent and open way. I don't know, I would expect early June or something. Obviously, we would like to see the full content of the financing agreement with the doctors so that we know exactly how to, say, tailor it so to make it, you know, easy for everyone. But before that, at least the 2620, including VAT, is only for the connector. Second question, the delta to consensus, 2 million, yeah, that's more or less exactly what we have accounted for internally under, say, the cost centers that only work with preparations. That certainly will be there also in Q2. I would say maybe even a little bit more, but not a lot more, but say 2 to 3 million you should factor in also for Q2. The test in the region south has been pulled. This makes sense, basically, because when you've done 500,000 in the other test region, there's really no need, and it works, and then there's no need to waste the time to test also in the south. I think for TIS systems, this has also been a way to save time, so they can now go straight for the rollout. they will have to comment in due course when they will be ready. I don't think we offend them or anyone to say that we don't expect them to be ready 1st of July. But maybe towards the end of the year could happen. Certainly we know they are working full steam and are capable of getting this done. So at some point they will be a second participant in the market. So say our period to be, yes, a loan will not be forever. So we have all the drive in the world to speed things up and get as much as we can in this window. Is it then a chance to capture market share? Yes, for connection points, yes. Not for, say, switches of core software, as we have discussed before, but for connection points, yes. The longer we are, say, alone in the market, the more we will get. On the option of providing an OEM version to T-Systems, I have to admit I haven't. We visited this option for the pilot, and for various reasons this didn't happen. That has basically no implication for the rollout. But I'm actually not able to. So if you ask me personally, I would say, why not? As you say, we would probably, under no circumstance, not be able to do everything in these 12 months for all of Germany. So we need to cooperate and compete more or less in parallel. And why not? But as I said, right now, their focus is to be ready and to enter the market based on their own products.
Thank you, Christian. Just one follow-up, another clarification, because I'm not sure whether I got that correctly. The 2,620 ASP for the connector that will decline by 10% gradually then until the end of the second quarter is understood. However, you mentioned the other elements that are written in this press release. However, there are also the services needed to implement the infrastructure and also the software to connect basically the connector to TI. Will these elements, just from my understanding, be also part of a guarantee, cost guarantee for the doctors and dentists who's paying for them? Or are they out of this equation, and do the doctors have to pay for these components then themselves?
This is not clear. There were some language, there were some statements in the dental in the dental contract, which in our opinion do not have much of a meaning. But I would say the answer to this will be fully embedded when we enter the market with our offer. And I think we reserve the right to now make the final adjustments to make it fit and match and be an attractive offer and a reasonable offer in the market. Again, if we talk about the assumption that we together have made over the last 2 years, we see absolutely no reason to change any of that. But the final verdict, as I said, will be when we enter the market with a fully transparent price list for both, say, upfront costs and recurring revenue for the connection points that we will offer.
Okay. Thank you very much, Christian.
Yeah, it's Lars here from Hauck. So I have just three questions left, basically. Andreas and Knut haven't covered most of that. So we have agreements now for the financial reimbursement for the dentists and the doctors, but of course there are more healthcare participants. So, for example, hospitals and pharmacies. Do you know what the time schedule is for these guys for reimbursement? It's Lars here from Hauck & Aufhäuser. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, you got my first question already?
Yes.
Okay. And then the second question is white label solutions. You mentioned it in earlier calls that you were thinking about providing your solutions as white label solutions to third-party providers. With the failure of T-System, I would like to know where we are here regarding that? And the last question is, what's the risk on the project, the nationwide rollout to be set up as a new project and that the Gematik will go for this again? Although we have the law, I know, but is there a risk that we would see a new call for projects? Thanks.
So obviously also for us, doctors and dentists are the largest, most populous and important user groups. Quite frankly, I don't know where we are on the hospital side. It's not mega relevant. And of course for pharmacies, strictly speaking, there needs to be a second decision to actually include them in the TE. So they are not encompassed. Everyone expects them to be, but they are not under the same time pressure in terms of the sanctions under the law as doctors and dentists. On the second white label, we are obviously discussing and negotiating. Keep in mind that the press release related to the financing agreement was released at 2 p.m. yesterday. So we need a little bit more time, and I would say we are discussing with many interesting third parties to see how we could use a network or partners to get as much capacity in as possible. So certainly we would be highly interested, and given the current situation, there is also a lot of interest from potential partners to take on our products and offerings and bring them into the market. So I think in terms of dynamics and development, this is an area where we should be more optimistic than before. Pinpointing that in numbers is probably some months too early, but right now it has played in our direction. For the third question, I think the short answer is no. The structure of the rollout has been decided, and this will not change.
Fair enough. Clear. Thank you.
That appears to be the last of questions. Thank you for participating. Thank you for your interest. And to all of you, if not before, we will revisit the development at the beginning of August. Thank you.